If the door were a living, breathing thing, what would it have seen as far as the passengers were concerned?
Well, the door really has two sides to it. So on the outside, it would have seen the coast of Ireland. It would have seen the coast of France, the wide open Atlantic. And it would have seen people come through it, but the wealthier ones, because this was used for first class passengers. So you would have seen John Jacob Astor and Madeline walking through. He with his cane, usually, and a hat. Traveling suits were very in the vogue. Of course, they would be wearing jewelry that would match that outfit, and their servants would be carrying precious items for them. When they came through these doors into first-class reception, they were met by the opulence of the ship. A linoleum floor, which at that point was the new vogue, and instead of marble.
It wasn't just for kitchens at
no,
that
it wasn't
point.
Just for kitchens. So you would have had the white floor, and it had a series of black and white, sort of a star pattern tile on it. And there would have been columns coming down. And depending upon which way you went, you would have different types of decoration. You might have see Jacobean in one area, country French in another. The idea was that you don't want to remind them they're on a ship. So the ambiance of the room never altered.
The door is now missing some rivets. It's pockmarked from its time in the ocean. What would it have looked like when brand new?
Well, it would have been smooth and shiny, and it would have been painted to match the side of the ship. The salt water does corrode the surface, but the hinges held on the ship, so they're still intact. The windows, bronze, is in perfect condition because that resists a marine environment much better than iron or steel does. The glass is intact in these windows.
Which is amazing.
Yes, it is, and it's about an inch thick as well. The ship was the largest moving man-made object on the planet at that time. So a lot of care went into its design. Harland and Wolff had entire workshops of artists painting faux panels. Glass makers and window makers and ornamental iron workers designed down to the finest details. And on the inside, the doors were hidden by a decorative grille and door that camouflaged that it was the exterior door and made it look like it was part of the interior when it was closed. That was the whole key, to create a sense of place.
The actual service time of the door was very brief.
Yes. It was incredibly brief because the only times it could have been used would be for the sea trials at Belfast, in Southampton, Cherbourg, and Queenstown. That's the only time it would have been used at all. And, of course, on the open water in the North Atlantic. It's interesting to know that this door was opened on the night of April 14th.
It was?
It was opened by Officer Lightoller. He anticipated loading first-class passengers through this doorway onto waiting lifeboats. But that couldn't happen, just the way things were happening that night. So it was left open, and when the ship went down, it was still open. And it was open when it was first discovered, still on the ship in 1993. It was photographed that way. But by 1998, corrosion had taken its toll, and the hinges gave way, and the door was on the ocean floor.
What meaning do you think this door has for us as viewers today?
This is a way to really connect with history. There have been more people who have gone to the moon than have gone down to the wreck site at this point. You walk up to this door and you say, this is Titanic. It has great meaning to the people of Belfast who built the ship because after 100 years they can still see it was a well-constructed ship.
And that is very important for the people of Belfast because in the years and decades immediately after the disaster, there was a little bit of shame associated with it.
It's an odd sense that they had, and that they are now rebuilding their pride in that community. And they're proud of what they did.